Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamma. Today is Wednesday, November 23rd, 2016. With me today, Kelly Goumont. How are you, Kelly?
I am doing well, Jeff, back in my regular Wednesday routine with the two of you. How are you?
I'm doing well, too. And yes, I kind of messed up the usual Wednesday routine because I took a few days off for a long overdue vacation. Mm-hmm. And then I went to Mac Tech Conference. And that just kind of messed up my recording schedules. So, but hey, here we are. And we have John Martellaro. How are you, John?
Hey, great to be back on track. And good morning, Kelly.
Hi, John.
Hi.
You know, I've actually missed doing the show with the two of you.
Can you say that again?
Hi, John.
Hi, Kelly.
All right, so now we can actually take that clip and turn it into the text message alert for the two of you. Anyhow, hey.
That totally works. I'm with it.
Okay, so I wanted to talk about the Mac and automation and scripting and Celso Goyen. And what I need to do right now is kind of fill people in just a little bit. So Last week when I was at Mac Tech Conference, Celso Goyen, who was Apple's manager of automation technologies.
From the dawn of automation technologies,
yeah,
if I recall correctly.
Yeah, he started in 1997 with Apple. And he announced at the conference that Apple let him go. They eliminated his position for business reasons, which means that there's no champion inside Apple's headquarters for AppleScript and Automator and JavaScript and, well, all the scripting things that we can use at the system level on our Macs. There's no one there to make sure that those things continue to advance. And so Brian and I talked about that last week. If you listen to the show, the reason why I sound like I'm on a satellite phone somewhere is because I was traveling. I was traveling with the wrong mic. Sorry about the audio on that one, guys. Anyhow, so since then, Craig Federighi, known to his friends as Hair Force One, he made a statement saying that Apple intends to continue supporting automation tools on the Mac.
Now listen closely to that.
Yes, parse it.
Right.
Say it one more time for us, Jeff.
Apple intends to support automation technologies on the Mac.
Now, what that says to me, and remember, I'm an optimist, and I try to find the silver lining in everything, and what that says to me is we're going to do our best in 10.13 to make sure that's not completely broken. Not it's going to get better, not it's going to be neat, not we're going to expand the possibilities for scripting integration with macOS, just we're going to make sure that Automator isn't totally broken. It might be gimpy, but it's not going to be broken. I feel like that's what they're saying.
You are a little more optimistic than I am. What I think what I think Craig is saying is that Apple is done with automation tools, and they don't foresee any changes to macOS in the near future that are radical enough that it will break what's already there. But when that happens, then it's just broken and done.
Now, here's my hope. As everybody knows, has been, you know, beaten into all of us for the last decade and a half now, OS X has Unix underpinnings. And yes, that means that you have access to a lot of other options as far as writing a script, executing a script. So things like JavaScript and writing little apps in Python or in Ruby, things like that. These little sort of applets, you know, to do a quick little thing that you want to have happen. Like, those are totally possible. They are things that people are doing, and I know that that's happening. I'm hoping that this is sort of like my stance on Apple getting out of the router business, which is like other people are doing a better job than us, and that's not something that we want to spend a bunch of resources on. So we're going to just let the people who really are into that go ahead and handle it.
I have a more negative view, Kelly. Jeff and I were talking about how this is just one more part of the pie of abandoning creative professionals who depend on production scripts. And that, as Jeff pointed out in his article, intending to support is not committed to continue developing. And as you said, so I think that what's happening is that Apple has this feedback mechanism, which you can turn on and off in preferences, that sort of profiles how you use your Mac. And when they see things drop off the radar, they say, well, no, people aren't using this very much anymore. We're not going to continue to develop and support this. But we might let it stay in there stagnant and continue to be used. But let me set the stage here. Part of the problem is, I've been noticing that other companies, Hewlett Packard, for example, likes to make statements of affirmation about their business and their goals and their vision. So, for example, and I'm paraphrasing, and this is no particular company, but it's you could have a statement on your website that says, you know, we are devoted to scientific professionals. We focus our commitment on the Unix underpinnings of our machine, excellence in Python and Bash and supercomputing tools, for example. And we are well adopted in places like NASA and National Center for Computing, Supercomputing Applications, and, you know, federal laboratories, so on, and citing examples and experiences and successes. Apple doesn't do that much anymore, in my perception. They don't have this, they don't articulate a vision. When we get a keynote, Tim Cook will come out and he'll talk about, you know, successes and finances, and, you know, do some little piecemeal things, and they'll introduce a product. But it's all kind of focused and specific. There's never any grand plan that says, you know, this is where we're going, this is what we want to do, this is how we want to satisfy our customers, here's our target markets, here's our vision for how we're going to succeed in those target markets. And so when these little blips come out, like somebody getting fired or automation coming under scrutiny or routers are no longer being sold, all of a sudden there's no context, there's no vision into which to put that. And so you hastily draw your own conclusions in the most, you know, fearful negative way. Instead, if Apple had this articulated vision that foretold what they wanted to achieve and where they were going, then when some event comes along, like they say, well, we're dropping this, everybody would go, oh, yeah, that fits. That fits with their vision perfectly. We understand. No big deal.
And therein lies one of the big problems we've been dealing with for so many years. Apple doesn't communicate, so we don't know what the roadmap is. Mm-hmm. And in this case, they're clearly not communicating even internally, because it wasn't anything they were telegraphing. So
right.
It's not like when Sal got the news that he didn't have a job anymore, that he knew that that was about to happen.
Right.
Or the community knew what came next.
Right. And now we have this problem where there are people saying, look, there's all these other scripting technologies that are just built into the BSD subsystem. So there's all these things you can do. The problem is that it's not a complete set for Mac users, because Apple Script lets us do so many things that you just simply can't do anywhere else. I mean, you're going in to the data level in multiple apps simultaneously in many cases, and mm-hmm. you're pulling things out, working with the data, and doing things. You're tossing it between applications, and the way that Apple Script lets you bind applications and features and data together is just astounding. And what I know now, based on what we have seen so far, is that's not a priority for Apple anymore.
Mm-hmm. Now, here's the thing, is that I can see I can see a couple of things happening out of this. So first is that, first and foremost, like, regular people are not scripting. Like, most standard, let's call them standard issue Mac users,
they don't even know those features are there.
Like, not only, like, yeah, I was going to say, not only aren't using it, but don't even know that that's a possibility, that that's a thing that they could do. The closest I think a lot of people get is they may have made a really specific workflow action in something like Alfred or Launch Bar or Keyboard Maestro that chains together a few actions at a time for them. Mm-hmm. And for a lot of people, I think that probably does the job. So I think, once again, the people this is going to affect is a small but vocal slice of the Apple community.
Yes.
So in real life, like, I'm heartbroken to see this go. I'm heartbroken for Sal, who I will assume is going to go on to Awesome because he's awesome. Yes. I've met him a few times and I actually got to sit in a talk from him and he made me believe I could go home and build something in AppleScript, and I did. And so he holds a special place in my heart for being the person who demystified that and made it something really approachable for lots of people. Mm-hmm. And made me not afraid to bust that out and try to make something happen. And I've used it off and on ever since. I mean, most of the time what I do is just execute something I already built, you know, save a little bit of extra time every time. Mm-hmm. But I think there's a lot of people who, like I said, don't know it, don't ever use it. I think for Apple, it's like the dashboard, you know? And so what I'm hoping is that this will ultimately be a self-solving problem, because there are other methods of scripting out there that will allow you to do stuff. You know, if you were to create some really cool macro in, say, Keyboard Maestro that does something really neat and then pulls in a Python script that you wrote that does this other piece of whatever it was that you needed, and then you're able to get to the same place without needing Automator, maybe that's a thing that could happen. And the reason that I get sort of frustrated by stuff like this is because of things like Dashboard. You know, remember Dashboard from like mm-hmm. Tiger? Mm-hmm. That thing hung around forever. Now, I liked it. I was casual at best, but it was one of those things that people always held up as an example. Like, why can't Apple just get rid of stuff that doesn't work? Why don't they get rid of something that nobody uses? The dashboard is ridiculous. Why do we need it? Da 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 da. And then, so now Apple is, I presume, Apple is doing exactly what it is all those people were complaining about, which is people aren't using this. It's not getting the mileage that it should to justify the number of people we have working on it, whether that number was 1 or 100, you know, we don't know.
It wasn't very many people.
No, it was not.
It was mostly one.
Kelly, let me introduce an optimistic note here. Uh-huh. On the positive side, I think I have a hunch that there may have been some demonstrations from the AI group about the kinds of things that they're planning for the future. And Siri on the Mac is just the first step. We know Siri's pretty crude right now, but I can envision a day when you can carry on a reasonably intelligent conversation with Siri and accomplish verbally what you were doing with code in AppleScript. So you can sit down with Siri and say, look, this is what I want to do. Whenever this happens, I'd like to take the data from here and I'd like to put it in this folder, and then I'd like you to parse it, and I'd like to see field number 2, and I'd like you to send that into my numbers spreadsheet and do a graph for me. And Siri says, sure, I can do that. I can envision a day when that might come.
Yeah, but is that going to be the same thing? Like, because I can say stuff to my computer instead of double-clicking on an Apple script, am I going to be able to accomplish the same thing? Because it doesn't seem like that's true.
You could say to Siri, remember what we just did, because next time I'm going to ask you to do the same thing. And Siri says, got it.
That would be kind of magical, actually.
That would be. But that's
no, magical is if I get to call her Dolores.
That's my only hope, Obi-Wan.
Yeah. All right, so I know we're going to end up coming back to this at some point, because that's how we roll. But I'm cutting us off because there's something else I wanted to talk about, And
this, does it involve turkey?
It totally involves turkey. Awesome. So tomorrow, which is November 24th, is the Thanksgiving holiday in the United States. Which, it is. By the way, isn't it tomorrow?
Yes.
Okay, good, good. All right, then I'm totally on schedule here. Okay, so that also means that tomorrow, the 24th, and Friday, the 25th, no shows, because Mac Observer, we're taking both days off. So just so you're prepared, don't look for daily observations tomorrow or Friday. But, Kelly,
yes,
you were talking before we started the show about how you have, I'm going to call it a survival kit.
I do.
For when you go to see your relatives. And it occurred to me that this is something that I do, I think, to a lesser degree. And I bet there's other people that do this. And there's probably a lot of people that need to know what it is you're doing, because it's going to help their sanity when they go to visit people at the holidays.
Yes. So this is one of those things that I always find very handy, and I end up having conversations with people about. So people probably... I'm going to presume the same way I presume about, you know, your standard issue Mac user and things like that. I'm going to presume that people who are technologically savvy enough to read Mac Observer regularly and have the excellent taste to do so, by the way, as well as have a podcast app installed and listen to a podcast on a regular basis, who also, again, have the excellent taste to listen to us. I'm going to assume that those people are tech support for their families. So part of the excitement of getting to go visit the family for Thanksgiving is sort of colored by the dread of people walking up to you with their flip phone from 2002 and asking you why the picture messages aren't coming through the way they think they should. So what I do when I go home and visit family is I have like a little toolkit that I prepare. First of all, I always make sure I have an extra lightning cable and an extra USB cable, just from a prep standpoint, so that, because I know I'm going to end up someplace where somebody's going to need to charge and can't. All I ever pack when I leave the house, if I'm going on a trip anywhere, the only thing I ever take with me is iPad chargers, because they will charge both my iPad and my iPhone, and the duck head on it folds up. So I don't have to worry about the prongs getting damaged on the little tiny iPhone charger. It's a little bit smaller, but it sticks out more, and it could get broken. So I take the iPad charger. I take, you know, a few extra cables here and there. I have a battery that I take with me everywhere, so I don't worry about that too much. And then I have things like there's an app you can get that's a bundle of scripts, just to bring the show full circle. It's called Disc Maker X. And it used to be called Lion Disc Maker in the old days. And it's this little bundle of scripts that you download the installer from the App Store for a particular operating system. And then you fire up Disc Maker X and you tell it, here's my 8 gig flash drive. And here's the installer that I want to put on it. And then it turns your flash drive into a bootable installer for that operating system. So right, this is a
which
trick.
Is pretty
this
cool.
It's amazing. And this is particularly great for people who have older Macs that don't have that recovery partition set up on them already, which is a more recent development than some people's machines. There are equivalent things you can do for Windows as well. So for people who have to go home and deal with those other kinds of computers, you can do this for those too. And the really great thing about having all this stuff available to me is that whatever happens, basically I'm ready. And all it takes is a flash drive and a couple of cables and, you know, making sure that I've got reliable internet so I can look up whatever the weird error message is that is coming up on my aunt's iPhone so that I know what it is I need to do to fix it. Those are the basics. The other thing I like to do before I go home is plug my phone in and offload all my pictures, because I don't use PhotoStream.
Oh, sure.
So I make sure I have a backup of all my photos. And the other nice thing about that is, A, I've probably cleared up a bunch of space on my phone. And B, if you take a bunch of great pictures while you're there on Friday or Saturday, you know, if you want to, you can go down to the store like I'm going to be pretty generic because I've seen these machines at Walgreens, at Target, at Fred Meyer, at Walmart, where you can take your phone, and again, that cable that I packed with me just in case, and you can go plug in your phone to basically a photo printer, choose the nice shots that you got of Thanksgiving, and then give them to your family.
That's really cool.
Yeah, it's pretty instant gratification. It's really nice. So I like to make sure that I'm prepped tech support wise. So the other thing I like to do is out there floating around, you can find things like a Mac cheat sheet. I think it's called a Mac cheat sheet. And then I will download that and fill it out with all the information about everybody's computers so that when somebody calls me and has a problem with their laptop, or they show up, you know, I have a problem with my laptop, I'm able to access that information really quickly. Oh, right. You have the late 2012 MacBook Pro. That's right. Maybe you're running into an issue with, you know, something or other. Another really handy resource for that is Every Mac and MacTracker.com. EveryMac.com and MacTracker.com. Those are really great places to get all the deep down specs on all that stuff. So you can find out exactly what's going on with someone's machine because you can get model numbers and all kinds of stuff out of it there.
That's nice. A great list, Kelly. That's excellent awesome stuff.
And I think that's a great place to wrap up the day for our long weekend, because I think you've just given everyone a really great list to get them started. And the other thing that I bring along with my survival kit when I'm off to the relatives or the holidays is a bottle of wine.
Oh, yeah.
Sometimes I share it, sometimes I don't.
Yeah, it depends on the mix of family, doesn't it?
Totally. Yep.
It does.
A great Pinot with a touch of raspberry is always great.
Good to know. Awesome. All right. Well, on that happy note, we are out of time. So, Kelly, thank you for being here today.
You're more than welcome, Jeff, and have a happy Thanksgiving.
Why, thank you. I hope you have a happy Thanksgiving, too.
Thank you.
And John, thanks for being here, and enjoy your Thanksgiving.
I will, and happy Thanksgiving to you. Bye, Kelly.
Bye, John.
Kids. Listeners, thank you for joining us. It's always great to have you here. And for those of you that are observing the Thanksgiving holiday, I hope you have a wonderful time. And for those of you that aren't, I hope you have a wonderful time too. Everyone deserves a wonderful time. Thanks for being here. We'll see everyone again next Monday.